You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
You're tuned into The Wire, 1 hour of current affairs and analysis starting now.
Tēnā koutou katoa ko Lachlan Balfour tōku ingoa, nō mai, haere mai, ki te Wire, mō tēnei rā. Kia ora and welcome to the Thursday Wire for Rāpare Thursday the 17th of May. It's Lachlan, your host, and I'm joined today by producers Ben and Jemima. How are you both going today?
Good.
Yeah, very cold here in the studio.
Yeah.
It always is.
Busy political day.
Good. Busy, very. The budget's coming out.
Budget coming out. Rally down the university.
True.
Yeah. What's going on?
However, you won't be hearing about the budget on this wire, but we've still got a great one coming up. First, I speak with Natalie Jacques and Shannon Walsh from a new university about the rally, and we have a special live cross to the event with Joe Guy. Neutral Corner focuses on the recent shooting of Palestinian protesters by the Israeli Defence Force. Jemima speaks with Auckland Action Against Poverty's Ricardo Menendez March about the state housing waiting list, and Phil Twyford about the rising cost of Kiwi Build homes. Andrew Little joins me for our weekly chat, where we discuss the hikoi on Parliament and Human Rights Commission review. Finally, this day in history returns, and Ben takes us through the shootout between several members of the Symbionese Liberation Army and the LAPD in 1974. Kia ora, whakaaro. If you have any thoughts to share throughout the show, we would love to hear from you. Tuku pātui mai, send through a text to 5395 or YMI. You can call the studio to chat with one of us on 309 3879, preferably not while we're doing our live cross. Tuku a te poti ki te pai te hau. Don't forget to vote in our Twitter poll on @95BFM News. What is our poll today?
Our poll today is, who is ultimately responsible for the deaths of the Palestinian protesters earlier this week? Either the IDF, Hamas or other? Currently 96% the IDF.
Not terribly surprising, but let's get into it.
I guess the first thing to say is it hasn't necessarily come about.
Whoops. Yes, that was Natalie Jacques from a new university who's currently holding a rally calling for the democratising of the University of Auckland and greater investment in the university. I spoke with Natalie and Shannon Walsh, the organisers, or some of the organisers behind the project, about a new university and the rally. I began by asking them how a new university came to be.
It's more like a demand or an ideal, and trying to establish the conditions where we could have a new university, or at least say the current one's not working and we need to do something differently. But in terms of the organising for this rally, it's come about through collaboration with a lot of the other actions that have been taking place against the library restructures. So contributions from the sort of fine arts and architecture people and in dance and music, but also responding to the whole library restructure and disestablishing all subject librarians across the whole university. So kind of, yeah, that it's come through some of those specific places, but it's a broader groundswell about discontent across the whole university.
So it's about much more than just the library closures. It's
Yeah, exactly.
And you've also called for democratic staff student control of the university. How would you like to see this work?
Well, at the moment, it's I guess responding again to that situation with the library restructures, that there's this really nominal process for consultation that's not actually followed through. And so we have top-down decisions made by overpaid managers, and there's never actually the opportunity or even sincere engagement with the fact that the people who work and study and contribute to building this space could have a meaningful role in how it's run. So, I mean, the first thing I think, yeah, would be addressing the council structure and how decisions are made, and sort of my position would just be to eradicate everything we currently have and start again from scratch about what we want.
Because currently on the councils, students have about like one representative or something?
Yeah, I think they have one that's usually the president of AUSA, but in the past has not always been that. But yeah, there's been an ongoing erosion of student and also staff representation.
And you've also called for the sacking of Stuart McCutcheon, Vice Chancellor, who we actually spoke to last week. I mean, do you think this would actually fix terribly much, or is there a culture that he's kind of brought to the university that would remain?
Well, we're of the belief that Stuart's been mismanaging the university for some time now. And largely he justifies this through the idea that there's not enough government funding for education. And one of the difficulties in organising against that is there is a degree of truth to that. So In that sense, there's no, it's not an accident that we're having this rally today, which is budget day, because all the lack of funding for tertiary education is connected to the budget responsibility rules, and we know that today we're not going to see any major changes in that. So Stuart McCutcheon is symptomatic of the kind of management that universities are being forced by lack of government funding to enact. Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's likely that he might be sacked?
I mean, it's actually, I think, a possibility in a way. I've kind of been thinking about this change to a Labour government, you know, in 9 years of National, and I think the tone of what we want to do with this rally and this project is that we're constantly reacting to terrible things and trying to just hold our feet steady while things are cut and slashed and removed. And so we kind of have this opportunity to catch our breath and think about building new things and doing them differently. And so, you know, if people vote for change in the government, then we should think about the possibility that public institutions and public servants could also have a corresponding change. You know, that maybe a vice chancellor who thrived under, you know, quite punitive, austere, neoliberal governmental processes and agendas, you know, should change, or at least respond in kind to the kind of shift in public rhetoric and what people want in their public institutions.
And you've got the rally coming on later today, midday, I believe it is. What form is this going to take?
Well, we're gathering outside the General Library, and we have a group of people speaking, a mix of staff and students. So we have Jane Kelsey is coming down to speak to us. We have a friend of ours who's a Tuakana rep who's going to speak, and a few students. And we're going to gather and we're going to then open it up and have a conversation about that.
Yeah, we also have Ricardo Menendez-March, the coordinator of Auckland Action Against Poverty, to frame the broader conversation around student poverty and hardship in Auckland in particular, but in general around the budget, and also Ben Rosamond, who's an organiser at NZEI, the education union, as well. So this is deliberately trying to bring together a broad conversation of students, library organisers, staff, but also bringing in that broader conversation. So that's, yeah, kind of an overview of the speakers. But yeah, giving an opportunity for people to get loud and rowdy and angry, and, you know, we'll see where that goes.
Do you think with the recent changes to funding, where university will eventually, you'll get 3 years free, do you think that's sort of changed a lot of students' outlook on it? They say, well, things might be bad, but at least I'm not paying for it anymore.
There's not a lot of point in funding fees when the quality of the education that's being delivered is constantly being degraded. And so that's one of the points we're trying to make with this rally, is that, I mean, we support fully funding education in terms of fees, but fully funding education doesn't stop with fees. It means paying teachers, it means paying staff, it means having the admin in place, it means having libraries.
Do you think this will kind of continue to grow, or...?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we came from last night, we were at a meeting with the architecture and planning people at the Architecture Library, and they're planning things, they're just sort of getting started, and they've got a lot of things that they want to do. We know the Save the Fine Arts people are kind of regathering after their actions for the last couple of weeks. So yeah, this is just the beginning, there's lots more to come.
Yes, that was the new university people speaking to us. And now, Jogai, you there?
What's that?
Hello, Jogai. We have crossed over. How is the rally looking? Are there many people there?
Okay, so the rally had a little bit of a slow start. It started pouring down, so we all went back into the General Library for a little bit. We're back out now. Sun is shining. There is a representative from the university saying his bit. The crowd is gathering a little bit more. We're all inching a little bit closer. You hear the boos, you hear the shame. People aren't having it. We've gone over a few chants as well.
Yeah, have the speakers begun yet?
Yeah, and so basically the person leading it did a little rally speech. Now they've handed the microphone over to the representative from the university. And yeah, people are not happy because he's essentially defending Stuart McCutcheon.
Oh, I see.
And if we go over the four things that this rally is demanding, just to get in.
Jogai?
Yeah.
Yeah. Has the big head from the Save Our Libraries rally returned?
No, not as of yet.
And is there much of a security presence there?
No, actually. Not yet.
Well,
massive student population here, though. In the general library.
Is it looking like there's also staff mixed in there? Or is it mainly students?
Not as of yet, actually. It's still just taking off. We haven't started marching or anything yet.
And what's the mood of the crowd? Is everyone quite angry, or is it everyone a bit calm?
Everyone is riled up.
Well,
the longer this guy keeps speaking, the more people are starting to get angry.
Do they expect Stuart to actually make an appearance?
No, I don't expect it.
Oh, not hugely surprising.
Oh, do you hear that? Do you hear the crowd?
Oh, getting angry. I like
getting
it.
Angry. Yeah.
Well, I think for now that is us from the rally. Thank you so much, Joe Guy.
Cool.
And I hope it's a good one. But
right.
We will talk to you later.
Alright, bye.
Yes, but you are tuned into The Wire on 95BFM. We'll be back after a little break. No, we won't.
No, we're not going into neutral corner.
We're going. Neutral corner? Are we good for neutral corner? We are good for neutral corner. We're actually going to neutral corner. Fantastic. That's actually not even showing up yet, but that's fine. Let's see if this works.
Yeah, you're not pressing play.
Okay, well, let's see if we can get Ivanka. Here she is.
On behalf of the 45th President of the United States of America, we welcome you officially and for the first time to the Embassy of the United States here in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. Thank you.
The situation is still very tender today. The White House laying the blame for the deaths of 60 Palestinians in Gaza at the feet of Hamas. Meanwhile, Turkey, one of America's allies, now recalling all their envoys in both the U.S. and Israel as a cause of this. Israeli ambassador to the U.N., Danny Danon, here in New York City with me now. And, sir, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bill.
What can you tell us about normalizing this situation today in Gaza?
It's up to the Hamas. Those are not protests. Those are orchestrated riots by the Hamas terrorist organization. They are committing a double war crime. They are using civilians, sending them to the fence, and they are targeting Israeli civilians. Our interest is not to see any casualties, but they have the interest to see more casualties. In 1 hour, we're going to have a Security Council emergency session in the UN, and they will speak about the casualties. That is exactly what they want to do. Instead of us speaking about the great move of the president moving the embassy, they wanted everybody to speak about the casualties, and they are using those children, innocent people, as human shields in order to create those riots.
I want to come back to the embassy in a moment here, which is a big deal that happened yesterday. We covered it live in this program here. It's a problem for Hamas, as you point out, but it's a problem for Israel, too. At what point do you get to the point where you can normalize this border yet again?
We have no intention of escalation, but when somebody is approaching the fence with explosives, with Molotov cocktails, you have to protect your sovereignty. That's exactly what we are doing. So we are there protecting the fence. It's up to them to decide whether they are sending thousands of people to the fence trying